If God knows everything and has a plan, what good is prayer?
Pastor Jonathan Fisk talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Answer that with the Lord's Prayer's teaching about what we pray for. When we study the prayer attentively, we find in its words a beautiful mirror of the desire that faith in the Lord Jesus gives us to see the Ten Commandments fulfilled not just in Jesus on the cross, but also then among us. So often today, Christian prayer puts all of its marbles on asking just for daily bread. But there is so much we lose when we have only such hopes for this life. So what we're going to do this June is come back and be humiliated in repentance before our Lord and ask Him, teach us to pray, and we know we will receive what we ask according to His Word.
You can meet and hear Jonathan Fisk making the case for the Lord's Prayer Friday, June 10th and Saturday, June 11th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org.
Its roots go way back. I hit my head in the summer of 2000.
I didn't know if you were going to tell the story, because that's a pretty big moment in the book. But, I mean, okay, please go
there. You think I
should
give it away? What do you think? I should let people read it?
Okay, my next question was, if you're willing to tell the story on the podcast, tell the story about hitting your head. I mean, it is so amazing, the life moment that happens. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, because that's really where the book comes from.
Yeah.
Is I was doing backflips on a wakeboard in the summer of 2000. I hit my head a bunch of times in a row, and I get a closed head injury.
Okay, that's Rob Bell talking about his new book, How to Be Here, on the Relevant podcast. I don't know if I know what the book is about yet. You might not even know who Rob Bell is, but he has been off the scene a little bit, but he was selling a lot of books for a lot of time, kind of part of that at one time, what they used to call it, now it sounds so quaint, the emergent movement in Christianity. We're going to be talking about Rob Bell's new book, How to Be Here, A Guide to Creating a Life Worth Living. Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us for this week in Pop American Christianity. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. Thanks for tuning us in. I'm Todd Wilkin. A little bit later, we're going to be spending some time with you, our listeners, playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That's the game where we play four soundbites. You call 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. A tweet at IssuesETC, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC, and you vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package. And I have Issues t-shirt, Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad to the listener with the best vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week on this Friday afternoon. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about Rob Bell's new book, How to Be Here, A Guide to Creating a Life Worth Living. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
He's been a little cold, you know, kind of in terms of the PR lately, so reintroduce us to Rob Bell.
Well, Rob Bell has been spending time surfing in California. He moved from Grand Rapids, Michigan. For years, he was the founding pastor of Mars Hill Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He was affiliated with, not officially, but kind of loosely, with the emergent church movement. And, back a few years ago, anytime he would write a book, I mean, every Christian would have to get it. And he's most popular for the videos that he created for youth groups, for high school youth groups, called Pneuma videos, where he kind of explores a new kind of postmodern Christianity with different kind of postmodern themes. And so after his book, Love Wins, he stepped down as the pastor of Mars Hill Bible Church, moved his family to Southern California, and spends time now writing, speaking with Oprah on her spiritual tours, and surfing, for the most part. That's how he spends his life.
All right. We heard there in the open, Chris, that the genesis of the book is, and I'm just paraphrasing Bell here, hitting his head multiple times and sustaining some kind of a head injury. How does that play into what this book is about?
Well, this is where you have to have a category in your mind known as homespun theology, or theology that comes from our experiences. Pieper's Christian Dogmatics, he has this wonderful Latin phrase that he throws around in his opening chapters on Scripture, and the Latin phrase is quod non est biblicum, non est theologicum. If it's not in the Bible, it's not theology. But Rob Bell is a guy who is a master at creating theologies based upon his experiences. And so we're going to hear a couple of examples of that. And the first is as he's setting up kind of the basic premise for the title of the book and what it's about, a guide to creating a life worth living. And the genesis of this big aha idea for the book comes from a head injury.
But it kind of is the springboard, it seems, for your new book, How to Be Here, which is about kind of chasing your dreams and stepping out and taking that risk to pursue your passions and kickstart life. And I mean, I'm assuming that you've been living this out for the last 5 years, and that's where the book comes from.
Yeah, the book actually, its roots go way back. I hit my head in the summer of 2000.
I didn't know if you were going to tell the story because that's a pretty big moment in the book. But I mean, okay, please.
You think
go
I
there.
Should give it away? What do you think? I should let people read it.
Okay, my next question was: if you're willing to tell the story on the podcast, tell the story about hitting your head. I mean, it is so amazing the life moment that happens. So yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, because that's really where the book comes from.
Yeah,
is I was doing backflips on a wakeboard in the summer of 2000. I hit my head a bunch of times in a row. And I get a closed head injury, and I was 30 at that summer. I had just turned 30, actually. And so I get taken to the hospital where I discover, well, I'm totally out of it. So my friends discover, and Kristen, my wife, discovers that I have a closed head injury, and they take me back to my house, and I see everything for the first time like I've never seen it. I get a tour of my life. And my brain, what happens with a concussion, a closed head injury? By the way, who gets a closed head injury by hitting their head on water? But my brain is trying to like essentially plug everything back in. And so my brain doesn't have any capacity for the future, which is where worry and anxiety comes from. And my brain doesn't have any energy or capacity to think about the past, which is where regret comes from. My brain can only be present. And I am getting a tour of my life. But my brain is only able to take in what is happening in the exact present moment.
Okay, so what did we hear there from Rob Bell? How would you summarize that?
Well, this is him kind of selling the aha moment that forms the basis for the profundities of the book itself that are supposed to then, you know that, oh, yeah, wow, I need to have that kind of experience as well, or I need to learn the spiritual lessons that Rob Bell learned as a result of this head injury. And you know I hear this and I hear head injury and I'm thinking my brain isn't working properly. Why would I want to create some kind of for lack of a better way of putting it, a spiritual approach to running my life based upon a head injury? Things aren't working properly. It just seems just really odd. But see, that's kind of the thing is that many evangelicals, and this is rampant not just in the emergent church, but in evangelicalism as a whole, people are looking outside or they're looking at their experiences and they're drawing their doctrine from it rather than exclusively from the Word of God. So Rob Bell has this experience. He learned some spiritual lessons on how to run his life with it. So you as a Christian need to learn the gleanings that he got from this experience and apply this doctrine to your life as well from the experiences of Rob Bell's life. And no one questions, wait a second, is this really how God wants me to live my life or to understand how to be a Christian and bear the fruit of the Spirit? So then Rob builds off of this in the next cut and explains kind of where this all cashes out.
And it's not just like the present moment's enough. It's too much. Like Kristen made me this burrito and I could taste every one of the spices individually. I remember they brought my boys into the room and I just kept going, wait, these are ours? I'm asking Kristen where we met and what my job is, and I'm seeing it all as it is, as if I'm seeing it for the first time, getting this tour of my life. And it's absolutely astonishing. I'm so overwhelmed with all of it. And it took about a week for the concussion symptoms to subside. But I had tasted an entirely different mode of living where you're only in the present moment. And I didn't have any muscles or skills or techniques for this. I was taught, probably like you, I was taught how to work hard, how to strategize, how to network, how to multitask, like how to climb the ladder. But nobody taught me how to be fully present. And so in many ways, the book is sort of what I've learned over the past 15 years of how to feel like you're not skimming the surface of your own life, how to live in such a way that you don't feel like time is flying by.
Okay, Chris, I can see now kind of the appeal that something like this might have. I mean, the older I get, the more I feel like time is flying by.
Yeah.
Like, a whole week goes by, suddenly it's Friday every week. I would have killed for this as a kid, you know, this kind of rapidity of time. But it does create that sense, and I'm sure that's why he appeals, of, you know, life's getting away from me. But what's his solution?
Well, that's kind of the thing. His solution is somehow it's drawing from this experience of learning how to be in the present moment and spiritually not feel like, or even feel like existentially, that you're flitting along the surface. I mean, that's fine and all, but I generally, you know, for instance, years ago when I was a kid, I broke my arm, and it was quite the awful experience, and I had to learn how to write left-handed. And I've never since written left-handed, nor do I desire to, nor have I said, you know, I really need to consider the life implications of the injury that I had when I broke my right arm, and really delve into and start coming up with the profundities that will help people experience the other arm in their life. I mean, it sounds profound. It sounds spiritual. Rob Bell is an extremely gifted communicator. He says what he says with passion, and there's a sense of kind of whimsy. He kind of draws you in, and he's like, I've got this thing I've got to show you, and it's so amazing. And so he's describing this to you, he's selling it by the way he's presenting it. But the reality is that at the end of the day, the question is he actually teaching you or selling anything to you of any value at all when it comes to how we conduct our lives as Christians, what we should believe, teach, and confess? And why should I think that because Rob Bell had a brain injury that somehow I need to learn how to order my life so that I can mimic or somehow learn how to be in the moment that he, like he was, when he wasn't able to do anything else but be in the moment because his brain wasn't functioning properly? This is no way to do theology, to talk about Christian sanctification or anything of the sort.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Today we're talking about Rob Bell's new book, How to Be Here, A Guide to Creating a Life Worth Living. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.
The cross is our theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here at Elm Grove Evangelical Lutheran Church, you'll find folks just like you, sinners in need of what only Christ can give, the full forgiveness of all of our sins. In a world where change turns things upside down, we serve a Lord who never changes and who has promised to be with us always until the very end of the age. If you find yourself in the Milwaukee suburbs, look us up. Elm Grove Evangelical Lutheran Church is the only Lutheran church in Elm Grove, Wisconsin.
O Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live. Weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
If you don't go to a church large enough where you can have enough middle schoolers and high schoolers to separate them so they can have small groups and grow up the local church, you are a selfish adult. Get over it. Find yourself a big old church.
Cohabitation before marriage can actually produce a horrible marriage. The same thing's true of intercommunion. Intercommunion before the unity has been properly achieved can actually scuttle it.
In the season of Lent, when we sing songs of Christ going to the cross, that his blood is shed, this is all praise music because it proclaims exactly how we have the victory.
That preacher standing on a street corner preaching, one man's evangelist is another person's political activist. You shut that man up on evangelism, you can shut him up on apartheid.
In about 20 minutes or so here, we're going to be playing Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. That's just a taste of the four soundbites we're going to play for you. And then once we've played them for you, it's your turn. Part of the game is that you give us a call, send us an email, send us a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page, and your votes will decide which of those four will be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in about 20 minutes here on Issues Etc. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about Rob Bell's new book, How to Be Here. Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith is our guest. So really, kind of to summarize to this point, what he's saying here, you know, I had this head injury. I had to relearn and re-experience life, and I learned a lot of lessons from it personally. Wouldn't necessarily be that objectionable if he weren't selling it as kind of something Christians ought to read next to the Bible.
Right. No, you see, the thing is that Rob Bell is a Christian author. This is going to show up in the... I think a good place for it would be the religious fiction section of you know, your Barnes and Noble, but it's more really along the lines of a self-help book. So, and that's the thing is that Rob Bell, you know, he puts himself forward as, you know, somebody who is a representative of Christianity, and somehow his books are supposed to represent something that has something to do with Christianity. And I mean, if somebody wants to muse and talk about, you know, well, how do you keep it so that life doesn't, you know, get past you and you're able to enjoy the moments, or as they would say, make sure to stop and smell the roses. I mean, that's kind of what his metaphor is a new way of kind of describing that concept. I mean, that's all fine and good. The issue really comes down to is that this is a book that's about supposedly theology or something to do with how we Christians live our lives or are supposed to order and understand how we exist in, you know, as Christians in, you know, in love to God and service to neighbor. And unfortunately, Rob Bell, you know, like I said, his personal experiences are in the driver's seat when it comes to his theology practically in all ways. And this is also then borne out kind of in the next soundbite. In the next soundbite, we're going to hear what I would consider to be the most backwards, and I mean this, backwards, upside down, and inside out understanding of the word Eucharist that I have ever heard. And I'll have to let Rob Bell explain it to you from his experience.
Anything you would change, like in the journey? Like, is there anything that stands out that you would do differently?
Oh my word, where do I start? Yeah, I didn't understand that you breaking yourself open and pouring yourself out for the healing of the world That is the Eucharist mystery present in all of creation, the body broken and the blood poured out. That is the Christ life. That is the Christ pattern. That is the Christ invitation. I didn't understand that the gift that you give the world of yourself is what spills out over the top. So I just went and went and went and gave and gave and gave until I sort of collapsed. And I think this is like the great epidemic of our age, is we go harder and harder and harder until we sort of collapse. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't understand a Eucharist rhythm of life in which the body is broken, the blood is poured out, and there's a corresponding season when the body is put back together and the blood is poured back in. So I, from the beginning, it's sort of been one long lesson in how to live in a Eucharist rhythm in such a way that right now in this interview with you, I'm not thinking about anything else. There's nowhere I'd rather be. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about. We're good. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And not all that ping-ponging that goes on in our mind and our heart, where it's just 1,000 jumbled thoughts. And in the process, it's like we're skimming the surface of our own existence.
All right, Chris, you said that was the most backward view of the Eucharist you've heard. Take it apart for us.
Well, notice where the emphasis is. It's not on Christ's body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins, or even in remembrance of Christ and his sufferings and death and passion to atone for our sins and for our justification. No, he's discovered it in how to have this really excellent life that he's supposedly, you know, saying, hey, how to a guide to creating a life that's worth living. That part of this life that's worth living is discovering the Eucharist rhythm in life, where your body, your blood is poured out for the healing of the nations. What do you do with this? Because, you know, believe me when I tell you, my body and blood poured, you know, broken and poured out, isn't going to heal the nations. If anything, it might make the nations worse. It's Christ in Him, and so you'll notice in this is one of the features of a theology driven by and informed by personal experience. Jesus is not the center of it. The person who is the center of this type of experiential theology is always the one experiencing the experiences and interpreting them spiritually. Ultimately, Christ gets dethroned, and I even suspect maybe even hogtied and thrown into a back room and not permitted to actually come out. And instead, the person, you know, he takes center stage and throws out biblical sounding terms. Who could doubt whether or not a Eucharist rhythm is even biblical? I mean, he used the word Eucharist. It sounds biblical. It sounds Christian. It sounds pious. But at the end of the day, it's a meaningless phrase. It doesn't have any meaning at all because it's a phrase concocted by Rob Bell, who's selling a book on trying to teach you how to create a life that's supposedly worth living. And nowhere in Scripture are we told about Eucharist rhythms and you pouring yourself out for the healings of the nations. It's all about Christ and Him bleeding and dying and suffering in our place and Him pouring Himself out so that we can be forgiven, restored, and healed. And Rob Bell, the biblical Jesus, I don't think is on his radar, like not even close at all.
And American Christians and evangelicals in particular, their immune system has not been inoculated against this. If anything, they're super susceptible because experience already functions as an authority. Even apart from Rob Bell and his latest book, experience already functions as an authority for them, doesn't it?
Yeah, right. That's actually the culture that we've grown up in. And a few years ago at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, when I was talking about postmodernism, I made the claim that that the American culture had been indoctrinated or began its catechesis into this kind of this experiential postmodernism with the advent of the Star Wars movies, where you hear Obi-Wan Kenobi telling Luke Skywalker to stretch out with your feelings, to turn your mind off and things of this nature and learn how to become a true Jedi. You know, the mind is bad, the experience and the feeling, that's where the true truth is at. And it's as if the mind is somehow getting in the way of our experiencing of the divine. And that has its, you know, culturally its origin in the Star Wars movie, and it hasn't abated. It's, you know, it's actually just grown deeper and deeper, and more people who've grown up on these movies haven't even realized that they've picked up what's called an epistemology. This is how you know what you know, that is based upon these concepts, and then they bring them unknowingly with them when they come to church. And as a result of it, nobody questions when somebody like Rob Bell stands up and says, I had this head injury and I learned these great spiritual lessons from it, and you need to learn the spiritual lessons too from my head injury. No one sits there and goes, this is nonsense, because everybody just assumes, because of the experience that he had, and that's where the real stuff is, in the experience and in the feeling, not in the thought, that somehow that this is valid, this is for us, this is true, this is what we need to be hearing. When in reality, they need to question their assumptions and say, wait a second, since when did my experience become an authority alongside of the written word of God? And see, that's kind of the danger in all of it. It's a hidden authority that nobody challenges, for the most part, because of the fact that so many people have grown up being indoctrinated into thinking this way. It's just how we think, and you have to step back and go, whoa, wait a second, I have to actually challenge some of my assumptions. And that's the difficulty in all of this.
I do want to make a connection, because although he wasn't officially connected to the emergent church movement, he was one of its bright lights, along with McLaren and several others. And that movement has kind of, Rob Bell has kind of tracked that movement in a lot of ways. I mean, who wouldn't want to just sell a couple very well-selling books and then retire out to the coast and surf all day long, even if it was at the cost of a head injury? And just kind of, to me, it just kind of smacks of kind of the end of emergence is surfer dude philosophy.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good way. I think that's a good way to put it. You know, the end of the line is, you know, a guy on a surfboard all day long pontificating and you know, throwing out stuff that sounds profound but really isn't. It's far from profound. I mean, I think that's kind of it. And Rob Bell, I think, just is the epitomizing of what that all means. Nobody's talking about the emergent church the way they were talking about it, you know, 10, 12 years ago. But, it's just had its volatile lifespan, and now, you know, you can spiritualize on tour with Oprah and head back to the California bungalow and enjoy the surf every day.
Just a few minutes here, Chris, what breaks the cycle for a person who has, had basically Rob Bell's books on his coffee table or on his bookshelf, read them, taken them seriously? What breaks the cycle for the average Christian who is addicted to his own experience as kind of the source of truth in his life?
Ultimately, you have to begin to draw a distinction between what the written word of God teaches and says, and what God has revealed, and what you believe is theology or doctrine because of your experience. And then, oftentimes, I will do this personally with people where they will say this is what they believe, and sometimes it's as simple as handing them a Bible and saying, can you show me that in the scriptures? Or sometimes it's that they've taken something and just completely mangled it, and then you have to re-show them what the scriptures say and note the contradiction, and then ask them the question, how do you resolve the contradiction? And that's a dangerous question to ask, and don't answer it for them. Oftentimes, we get a little hurried when it comes to helping somebody see the truth. But the reality is, sometimes it takes people some time to see the truth. They have to work through it and process it. And so a good open-ended question that doesn't give the answer, that just basically says, how do you reconcile the conflict, point the conflict out, oftentimes will drive them in the privacy of their own time with their Bible to open it up and ask themselves the question, how do I resolve these conflicts? And so the idea here is you have to show that the conflict exists, but then bring them back to the Word of God and say, this is what we can trust, and then begin to identify that these other ideas that they're having aren't coming from God, but they're coming from another source, either the culture, their own thoughts, their own experiences, or even Rob Bell. But if it's not in Scripture, it's not doctrine, it's not theology. It might be an opinion, it might be helpful. I mean, and not everything in the world that is true is in the Bible. But everything that pertains to life and salvation is in the Bible, including our sanctification. And so we are good students of Jesus when we are reading and learning the words of Jesus in the written Word of God, rather than artificial words of Jesus manufactured by people who sell books based upon their experiences.
Chris Roseborough is pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, it's time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. If you've played it before, you remember it. If you haven't, it's very simple. We're going to play four soundbites for you, 1, 2, 3, 4. They come from this week's Issues Etc. audio. All you need to do is listen and then make up your mind which you think ought to be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You can agree or disagree with it. You can find it remarkable for any reason. You may want to hear it again or never hear it again. All those are good reasons for voting for any one of the four for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org, our Twitter address at issuesetc, and our Facebook fan page, where we left space for you to vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, facebook.com/issuesetc. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Faith Lutheran, Orange City, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zolt, Texas. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran and Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Perryville, Missouri. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina, Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas, Gethsemane Lutheran, Marion, Ohio, and St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/LCMSU.
The 27th Annual Congress on the Lutheran Confessions, sponsored by the ACL and Luther Academy, is April 6th through the 8th in Bloomington, Minnesota. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission will present two seminars. On Tuesday, April 5th, Pastor Rob Jarvis offers an overview of the Reformation and our confessions. On Wednesday, April 6th, Pastor Jeremiah Johnson presents Catechesis Begins in the Home, Practical Ways to Pass on the Faith to Our Children. Learn more at theclcc.org.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you long for a church that celebrates the divine service with reverence and joy, but without the unbiblical baggage imposed by a supposedly infallible hierarchy? Do you long for a church that confesses a divinely instituted office of the holy ministry for the giving of the Lord's gifts to his people, and yet values and lifts high the priesthood of all believers? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We're what you've been looking for. Find an historic, authentic church near you on the Find a Church page at issuesetc.org.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.